scores! Gilmore scores! The ball three left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aguila's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get to it. It is a Friday, May 30th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. And it's a Friday. That means it's time to check in with Eric Francis. Eric joins us now from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. We've got a ton to talk about in the next hour here on Flames Talk. And, Eric back in Calgary, safe and sound after a trip to Edmonton for the Western Conference Final. How was your trip to the provincial capital for games 3 and 4, my friend?
Yeah, you know what? This hurts me a little bit, but as a Calgarian to say, but you know, you got to admire, you know, what they built there, not only just the team, but that, you know, the history and tradition there and the fans and the atmosphere in the building and the city, like it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool what's going on there. And of course in the final, it's going to be even cooler. And, you know, I that's a hell of a team there. I'm not sure how they stack up with Florida. I have my doubts, but God, they're a good team and they could easily win this thing. It's been an interesting ride, and I think it's good for the league that you got a rematch from last year. I think there's a lot of intrigue in that.
Yeah, definitely. And we will touch on the Stanley Cup final a little bit later on this week's Eric Francis Hour. But while you were up there, EF, you had a chance to sit down, and I know that, again, it's a disappointing exit in the Western Conference Final. That's the third straight year Dallas goes out in the West Final. And this year, only in 5 games, they're able to muster up against the Oilers. But you had a chance to sit down with Dallas Stars GM Jim Neal. He's up for GM of the Year once again, and got into a conversation with him. Where'd that convo take you?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because you and I have had the conversation here for a long time about how we both see parallels with what the Calgary Flames are doing and what the Dallas Stars are doing. And I think Craig Conroy's even mentioned it at times, you know, we kind of want to do what they're doing, which is, you know, just hit it big with the draft. And then we don't need to drop to the bottom to get to the top again. And speaking with Jim Neal about, you know, the team that he's built, I'll first of all, before I draw the parallels with Calgary, I'll say that I just basically asked him, I started our little chat, we were sitting alone in a room at Rogers' place, and I said, like, what's your philosophy on how to build a really good team? And he just kind of went off on a bit of a sidebar saying, look, we've been pretty fortunate. Like, if you'd have asked me coming out of the bubble a handful of years ago, what was ahead for us, and he would have thought, we're going to have to do some serious rebuilding. Because it was a Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin team, yep, and they needed to inject some youth. And they had some guys they drafted by then already, but you didn't know what you had in them. Like Heiskanen was starting to look really good. Esa Lindell, those are two of your cornerstones on the blue line. But there were a whole lot of question marks about a lot of other guys they drafted. But, you know, that one draft that they hit there with Jason Robertson in the second round and in the first round, Ottinger and Heiskanen, you know, that's the one that everybody points to as, you know, allowed them to kind of really thrust a bit of a retool, rebuild, and make it go a little faster. And then he said, kind of, why Johnston, that was the home run that's allowed them to be who they are right now. Not just because of him, but, you know, in the meantime, Heiskanen's evolved as one of the best defensemen in the league. Ottinger's one of the best goaltenders. Robertson's one of the better forwards until the playoffs come every year. And anyway, I mentioned that I thought that was a lot like what Calgary was doing. And he spoke at length about how he sees exactly the same thing with the Calgary Flames. And the big thing he kept mentioning was how the youth has energized the Calgary Flames. the youngsters that they've left spots open for and who have kind of started to blossom here have really energized the whole organization and given older guys like Kadri and Huberdeau kind of new life. And he saw the same exact thing with these Wyatt Johnstons, the Maverick Borks, the Logan Stankoven. And you know, hey, Stankoven's not there anymore, but they used a top prospect like Stankoven to help them land, you know, one of the best power forwards in the NHL over the last decade. So in Rantanen. And so they've all served a purpose in different ways. And he kind of went, in a way, he kind of went player for player through the roster. And it sounded a lot like what Calgary's doing as well. So I thought we've talked about it. We've seen it from afar, but it's interesting to hear of the architect of that retool saying, yeah, I see the same thing in Calgary.
Yeah, and I mean, and we talked a little bit about it last week. I mean, you mentioned the one draft in 2017 where they got those three players who are all cornerstones on the team right now. And, you know, they selected Roope Hintz a couple years prior in the second round. And, you know, you mentioned Stankoven. He's a second-round pick. Thomas Harley is a Team Canada defenseman now, and he's a first-round pick, but in the back half of the first round, Maverick Bork was a 30th overall selection. You know, all of a sudden, you can really start. And again, Haskinen is the guy that went third overall, so they did get their really high pick. But you take a look at some of these other names that they've drafted, and you take a look at what the Flames did in the 2024 NHL draft in Vegas. And, you know, I think a lot of people would point to Zane Parekh as being, even though he went ninth overall, you could make a real salient argument that he could have gone top five, top three in some other drafts, or even a lot of people last year had him that high. And so, you know, Wyatt Johnson's a later first-round pick, and Stankoven, as we mentioned, is a second-round pick. I mean, most of what they've done is with later first round picks and what they've been able to get done in the second round. So if you're a Flames fan hoping that Craig Conroy is going to ultimately be successful in what he's trying to do here, well, you take a look at this last draft where they got their guy in Parekh, and Zane looks like he's going to be that cornerstone piece for him going forward. And then who knows? I mean, whether it's Andrew Bacha or Henry Muse or somebody else from that draft that really pops, I mean, all of a sudden you can start to see how Craig Conroy is doing things similarly without purposely trying to be bad. And it's not an easy way to do it. You've said all along, like, doing this hybrid rebuild is one of those things that is difficult, and it makes it hard on the general manager to ultimately be successful. But you're right, you can start to see some of the building blocks that are similar to how a team like Dallas has gone about their business and gotten to this point.
Yeah, and I know Parekh went ninth and Heiskanen went third, but and they're a completely different style of defenseman, don't get me wrong, but I think that, and again, it's early, but you know, I think a lot of people in the hockey world are projecting that Parekh could have the same sort of massive impact on an organization that Haskinen's had for Dallas. And, you know, Dallas has long been one of the, in the last 3 or 4 years, one of their hallmarks to getting to three straight conference finals is that defensive core. You know, Lindell and Haskinen and at times Chris Tanev. And, you know, they really are a juggernaut on the blue line defensively. And Parekh's different. I get it. He's an offensive guy, but that's one of the similarities. And then you look at the Ben and Seguin thing that he mentioned. Well, that's Huberdeau and Kadri in a way, although they're younger than Seguin and Ben were when he was referring to them coming out of the bubble. I just the one thing that he said was the biggest turning point, though, for them was the Wyatt Johnson draft. Because if people remember, and I think he went 21st. Is that when he went 21st overall?
23rd in 2021.
Yeah. So, and he had missed the entire year before due to COVID, you know, because the OHL didn't play. And that was considered by a lot of people in the hockey world quite a risk, you know, for a guy to miss that entire year and take a chance on him based on his numbers as a, you know, the year before. So it's paid off. He said, when you draft a guy, you're generally thinking 3 to 5 years before you're going to see him. And we had a guy who came in a year later and instantly was one of our better players, and now is a two-time 30-goal scorer in his first 3 years. So the Calgary Flames don't have that guy yet. We could point to different guys and say, well, maybe Suniev will be that guy, or maybe so-and-so will be that guy, or maybe it's the guy they draft this year. But that's kind of one of the crucial pieces that the Flames are missing compared to what the Dallas Stars had, which is that instant overnight star who comes in as an 18 or 19-year-old, blows everyone's socks off, and is the cornerstone of your franchise. So that's still has yet to come, and that's harder to come by when you're drafting like the Flames are, 18th, 20th, 30th, 25th, whatever the number is going to be. I guess the number will be 31st or 32nd.
31 or 32 along with number 18 this year.
Yeah, for Florida. So, that's a missing piece right now, but I think there's lots of optimism around the Flames organization because the scouting staff has been getting it right a lot more these days than they did in the past. So that bodes well.
Well, and I mean, then you get to a point if you start drafting really well, then you get to a point where you can start using your picks to acquire other players like Rantanen and some of your prospects to acquire other players like Rantanen. So, I definitely see the parallels. And I'll say this, and even a guy in Bichel who was playing in this round and turned into an everyday player on the Stars, there's another late first-round pick at 18th overall. So if the Flames can have similar success to what the Stars have been able to do, and a few of these later first round guys hit and a few later round guys hit as well, then I think we're having a really interesting conversation when this building opens in a couple of years. And that remains kind of the target point, is to be a really competitive team when Scotia Place opens in a few seasons. And so I don't know what this draft is going to yield for the Flames, but I will say what the Flames did last year, and you still talk to draft experts and people who follow the draft, Eric, people still rave about the 10 picks the Flames made in Vegas in 2024. They're still talking about the job that Craig Conroy, the hockey ops staff, and Todd Button's scouting staff did at that year's draft. The way they were able to find value in later rounds, they were banking on high skill, whether it was Basha and Battaglia in the second round, or going for Muse in the third, or Misa a little bit later on. People are still raving about that draft. So I think if you're a Flames fan, and I know I've even been reading it a lot more recently because the Oilers have advanced to a second straight Stanley Cup final, I've been reading it a lot on social media about how are the Flames ever going to do what Edmonton has done here, and we all know the type of players that Edmonton has, but at the very least, this last draft can give you some hope that maybe the Flames have their head where it needs to be to try and complete what they're trying to do here, because they're probably not going to be getting a Connor McDavid first overall anytime soon. So it's going to be a different build to the what they're trying to do here. But that draft was pretty promising, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I wouldn't say they've continued to stockpile picks, but they've still got more than their fair share. They've got more than they're just given moving forward with the two first rounders this year. I think they've got two or three second rounders. Is it next year? I can't remember looking at the draft list, but there's still position. It's not like they've mortgaged the future in any way. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. They've done a good job stockpiling picks, and yes, they can use those picks moving forward to make that big move if they want to try to make. Look, I think you and I both see two big moves in their future. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but sometime in the next year or two, they're going to find that center that they are craving. I'm not sure he'll be the answer, but in their mind, he would be.
Yep.
And that might take some draft picks. I don't think it'll take cash, because I don't think you're going to find that guy in free agency, unrestricted free agency. But I think they're going to find that guy, and it might mean trading some picks or some prospects. And then the other thing is, eventually when they feel like they're ready to kind of start being a legitimate contender – in, I don't know if that's 2-3 years from now, then really dipping into free agency and spending, 10, 12, $14 million on a player who they think can sell a lot of jerseys, get you into the playoffs and make a difference in the playoffs. So all that can require you know, you've got a lot of different capital at your disposal, and that's what you need. You know, like if Dallas right now were to try to make another trade, or like Edmonton this year, they weren't able to do anything really at the trade deadline because they pretty much maxed out and gotten rid of all their prospects and picks. The Flames are in an opposite situation.
Yep. We're talking with Eric Francis. It's the Eric Francis Hour on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday. Okay, so Dallas gets to Game 5 of this year's Western Conference Final. Where are we on the Stars? We'll pivot away from the Flames for a second and get back to them a little bit later on this hour, but where are we on Dallas now? You know, it's funny, we have these conversations about how Calgary's trying to do a similar thing that Dallas has done. Unfortunately, Dallas hasn't been able to get to the ultimate prize, or in this kind of resurgence here, they haven't even been able to get to a Stanley Cup Final, but they've been one of the best teams in the NHL, and yet here they are for a second straight year unable to beat the Oilers more than twice in a Western Conference Final. Out in six last year, out in five this year with a pretty convincing loss on Thursday night. Like, where do the Stars go from here? They've got this core. They've got a good chunk of this core locked up long-term. They just made the Rantanen move a few months ago and signed him long-term, and yet they continue to have a difficult time getting over the hump. There's talk that Peter DeBoer may be done, especially after some of the decisions he made in Game 5. But I'm just curious as to what your feel on Dallas is as they have a disappointing end of the season once again.
Yeah, I mean, I keep harkening back to, you know, Daryl Sutter always used to say, if you're going to win a cup, you have to be knocking on the door for a lot of years before you walk in. And Jim Nill echoed that sentiment. Just, you know, by being in three consecutive conference finals, they've given themselves, you know, at least a chance. Now, I think certainly in the last two, they've been badly outclassed by an Oilers team with more star power, more depth potentially, and better goaltending, which is a big surprise because I don't think anybody would have traded Ottinger for Skinner. But as it turns out, Skinner was the better goalie each of the last two seasons. I think, you know, moving on from DeBoer is a very real possibility that I think they should and will be looking at, especially given, you know, I think the way, you know, he really put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths regarding Ottinger, one of his cornerstones, as they move forward. And I just didn't love the way he handled himself. You know, I was up there in Edmonton, and it's just, it might be time for a change for DeBoer, because that series was clearly over after Game 3 in my mind. And it felt like all the players knew it. It felt like everybody in hockey knew that series was over after Game 3. The Oilers just were so much better. So Jamie Benn's an unrestricted free agent. He's your captain. That's an interesting decision they're going to have to make there, because he's not a very effective player anymore. As a matter of fact, I thought he took a really bad penalty there in Game 4 that really hurt his team. And, you know, I'm not sure that you bring him back. If you do bring him back, you're bringing him back at the league minimum. Mm-hmm. And that could have its merits too. So that's an interesting decision. And I don't have all their UFAs and everybody in front of me in terms of all the decisions they have to make. But their core is so darn good. Up the middle, they are so strong. Wyatt Johnson's only going to get better. You know, Jason Robertson, and we're going to probably find out as early as this weekend what he was playing with, because he was a shell of his former self. I mean, he could hardly skate up and down the ice. So he was playing with a major injury. And I got to go back. The last thing I'll say about them moving forward, standing next to Mikko Rantanen and chatting with him after a couple games, that guy is an absolute beast. like he is a monster of a man. Like, thick, strong, tall, hands. Like, he's got everything that you could ever want in a power forward. And I've said for years that he's the most underrated player in the National Hockey League, because he was always overshadowed by MacKinnon. And now I think he's finally getting his due and will continue to get his due as a superstar in this league, now that he's kind of the big man on campus in Dallas. And while I was there game the other night, and that's all I could think of, what a mountain of a man, and how good this organization is going to be with this guy in the fold for the next bunch of years. That's a hell of an asset right there.
And it sets us up with a rematch in the Stanley Cup Final with the Oilers and Florida Panthers. This year, it'll be the Oilers getting Game 7 on home ice, which is an interesting wrinkle from last year, as Florida hosted Game 7 of last year's Stanley Cup Final. You know, the Oilers have had it's been a pretty noteworthy run to the Stanley Cup Final, and not one that I think a lot of people saw coming at different times going into the playoffs, definitely coming out of the first two games against LA, so on and so forth. And yet here they are. They've gotten a 12-2 run since that 0-2 series deficit in round one. They've really found something with their lines. Corey Perry's having an incredible postseason, and Evander Kane and Trent Frederick have made big impacts. They're getting depth scoring. They're getting contributions from all over the place, and now they've got Ekholm back for the rest of the playoffs as well. How much better suited this year, and I know that you've seen a lot of Oilers playoff action over the last number of years, how better suited this year are the Oilers to taking out this juggernaut borderline dynasty Panthers team than they were a year ago?
Yeah, well, listen, The Hyman injury, I don't need to – it's not a hot take to suggest that that is a massive loss, because not only did he score, 70 goals last year if you combine playoffs and regular season, this year he decided he was just going to be the biggest hitter in the National Hockey League. Would have shattered the record for most hits in a playoff if he wasn't injured. And, he was creating more room for McDavid by doing that. It was just – it was an amazing – thing to add to his repertoire this late in his career, this late in the season. So that's a massive loss. And if they do lose, I'm going to look to that as being perhaps one of the biggest difference makers. But Evander Kane, to come back after missing the whole year and play the way he has, unbelievable. One of the names you didn't even mention right there was the guy who I thought was the best player in the two games I was covering up in Edmonton, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Like, this guy is, for you talk about players playing in the shadow, and this guy has found a way to be, I think, their best player, maybe in this series. It's hard to say that against McDavid, but, or Skinner, because both, any one of them could have been the MVP of that little series we just watched against Dallas. But my God, RNH is, he's the first over the boards to kill penalties. He's the first over the boards with that first unit on the power play. The guy does it all. He's so important, and yet nobody talks about him. There's probably six guys you'd talk about before he got to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who, of course, is a former first overall draft pick, who was not a bust in any way. So, the depth, right? I mean, just all these different names we're talking about just points to the depth that we've always said the Oilers don't have. They have it. It's really helping. There have been games where the big boys haven't even done much, and it doesn't matter. Connor Brown's going to come back real soon from this concussion, and that's a massive add for this team too, who could almost fill the shoes of Hyman. It's hard to believe that they could lose to the Florida Panthers, but then you watch the Panthers play and you're like, well, it's hard to believe they could lose to anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated. I wouldn't be putting a dime on this series at all. Would anybody in the world be surprised if it went to the seventh game again and was an absolute bloodbath? I am so looking forward to it. Like I said earlier, I think it's so good for the league. I know the league's probably not thrilled that a Canadian team or an Edmonton's in there. That's not great for ratings south of the border. I'm not sure Florida moves the needle much south of the border. But my God, as a hockey fan, you got to love this matchup.
Well, and even some of the way, like you go back to how good that series was a year ago and the swings and all of what that series brought. And if it could come even close to that, I think that we'll be having a lot of fun watching this series. Obviously, the Flames and Flames fans are hoping now that second pick ends up being 32nd overall. I think you'd much rather have the 32nd overall pick than the misery of watching your arch rival win the Stanley Cup. So I think that's pretty cut and dried at this point. Boy, yeah. Last thing before we pause, EF, but man, I think that when — and I'm not trying to dig up old wounds, but you know where the Panthers have gone since that trade, and I just it feels like Bill Zito, the general manager, when he talked about acquiring Matthew Tkachuk that summer, he talked about how Matthew's exactly what he felt the team needed to get to the next level. And look, Mackenzie Weegar has been outstanding for the Flames, and Jonathan Huberdeau had a much better season this year. But what Matthew Tkachuk has added to that group and where it's taken them since that trade, like that one addition, and it had to be made because Matthew was going to get dealt somewhere. But that one addition for Florida specifically, my goodness, it's turned them into a really fun, high-flying team to a full-on dynasty. And I mean, we'll see if they can win back-to-back Stanley Cups. That hasn't been done since Pittsburgh did it. But, boy, the ability for that team to lose players, restock, and just keep on being good and keep on making these targeted moves, whether it was Brad Marchand this year or some of the moves they made en route to winning the Stanley Cup last year. There's been a pretty incredible build to what they are, hey?
Well, yeah. And you know what? You think about the guys that he's gone out and targeted, and I believe Bennett got there before Zito. But when, or maybe my timelines are out. I can't remember. You could remind me. But either way, Florida's gone out, and I would say the three biggest leaders on that team in terms of heart and soul are Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, and Marchand. And what do they all have in common? They all wear their heart on their sleeve. They're all guys who step up when the games are bigger. And, you know, I couldn't help but think of three players like that when Brad Treliving was having his press conference the other day and talking about how they need a DNA change in Toronto. I found it interesting that he used the word a DNA change, because the term I've been using all week long is they need a heart transplant, or more specifically, they need a heart. They need a heartbeat. And that's what I think Bill Zito saw in Matthew Tkachuk. Look, we all saw it here in Calgary too, like that. That was the heartbeat of the Calgary Flames, and we knew he would be for many years. He would have been the captain if he wanted to stay here, no question about it. And Bennett's the same. You know, I'm diverging a little bit here into tree living, but when you talk about transplanting DNA or heart, those are three biggest names on your list, if you ask me. And Sam Bennett is a free agent. So is Brad Marchand. Boy, wouldn't that be interesting if Marchand went to Toronto, where he's killed them for so many years. And I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying that's the kind of player that you're looking for. And I think I'll just kind of give a tease for what I think we want to talk about in the second half. But like Rasmus Anderson fits in that mold, if you ask me too. If I'm Brad Treliving, I'm looking at Rasmus Anderson and I'm saying, there's a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. There's a guy who's an emotional hockey player whose give a crap meter goes through the roof all the time, and probably more so in the playoffs. You know, I just think those are the players that you should be building franchises around. I'm not saying you build a franchise around Rasmus. I'm not saying necessarily even Bennett at this point in time. But Tkachuk, yes. And in Florida, they saw him as the final piece. And turns out they were right, because he has. I agree with you. That was an amazing. I think the world of Matthew Tkachuk. I think he's the biggest unicorn in the National Hockey League. And I don't think there's maybe many more valuable players in the league than Matthew Tkachuk. Bill Zito saw that, paid a very fair price, and it's paid off.
And by the way, Zito was the guy who acquired Sam Bennett at that deadline.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep. So he also acquired Bennett from the Flames.
Yeah. So he saw the same thing.
Yep. And I'm interested to pick up on that Rasmus Anderson conversation as we take our first pause on the program this hour. As we are underway, it is the Eric Francis Hour here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and Flames Talk. Pat Steinberg along with you wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, how would you like to escape to the mountains in your very own $2.7 million Canmore Villa? Buy your tickets today for the Calgary Health Foundation Home Lottery Mountain Edition. So the VIP prize deadline is midnight tonight. Don't miss out on your shot at something epic. A 2025 Land Rover Defender supplied by Jaguar Land Rover Calgary, or take $120,000 in cash. Luxury meets adventure in the ultimate Alberta ready ride. And if the ride isn't up your alley, instead, yeah, $120,000 will do you pretty well, just as well anyway, right? It's more than just a ticket. It's building a healthy community with your support. support, Calgary Health Foundation is investing in breakthroughs in continuing care communities to ensure more firsts in continuous care in Southern Alberta. So you've got the Canmore Villa, you've got the Land Rover, or $120,000 in cash. Buy your tickets now for the Calgary Health Foundation Home Lottery Mountain Edition at CalgaryMountainHomeLottery.com. Early bird deadline is midnight tonight as we continue on the Eric Francis Hour here on Flames Talk.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's the Eric Francis Hour. Pat Steinberg and Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca with us every Friday for a full hour. Eric Francis joins us here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Eric, just before we hit the pause for this hour, you had mentioned something about Rasmus Anderson and how if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, he'd be the exact type of guy that you'd be looking for as you're trying to steal Brad Treliving, the GM in Toronto. Now, his words after their second round exit, he said, we need to change the DNA of our team. And that's Rasmus Anderson. That's the type of guy that you could see being right up Toronto's alley, hey?
I do. Now, I don't know if they have the assets. Look, they need to make more significant changes than just acquiring a Rasmus Anderson. But the resources they do have, Easton Cowan and some of their prize prospects, they don't have many left because they've been mortgaging their future for a while. You may need to use those to land bigger fish than Rasmus Anderson. So that may not work. But to me, and I'm not trying to start a rumor and say that I've heard that this is in the works. All I'm saying is when I hear someone say they need more their DNA, more heart, I think of a leader like Rasmus Anderson. I thought about that right away. I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's the kind of guy. So it was a perfect lead-in when you mentioned guys like Tkachuk and Bennett, because, man, we could go around the league and start a list if you and I wanted to one day about who are the top heart and soul guys in the league that if you were building a franchise, you'd love to have. And, there aren't many. Like, to me, there aren't the guys that you just look at every time and go, man, that guy would go through a wall for me or any of my teammates. And I think that I would put Rasmus Anderson on that list in terms of guys who care that much about being a good teammate and giving it their all.
Yeah, and obviously there remains a really important decision to be made on the Anderson front and what Craig Conroy and the Flames are going to do with number four. He's now done at the World Championship and can maybe really start getting down to brass tacks in terms of what those conversations look like and how close or how far apart each side is on what they're looking like or looking at for contracts and see where that takes us. And then you can, if you feel like Eric, if you feel like you're just not far, rather not close at all, and you're too far apart when it comes to your contract ask and his contract ask, well, maybe you can really start sowing some of those seeds at the draft and really right around draft time, start to maybe get the rubber hitting the road when it comes to a potential trade. It's going to be a really interesting next 3 weeks or so when it comes to, and we're not going to hear anything about it, but going to be a really interesting next 3 weeks or so to see where things go on the Anderson front.
Totally agree. And, I'm 100% convinced he will be traded because I don't think the sides can come together this early. And, remember, he's got one more year left in his contract. And he even said, I'm not sure I should be negotiating right now, given how many pucks or given how many minuses he was eating all year long. But either way, as your decision or your position changed at all, like that's the biggest. Other than, I guess, who the Flames draft and if they can address the center situation, I guess Rasmus Anderson, I've long thought he's the biggest storyline of the summer for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, he's basically the Markstrom of last summer, right? Like
he's
the guy that they don't need to make an immediate decision on, but it feels like an immediate decision might be the best thing for both sides. And Markstrom got done just before the draft. I think it was a week before the draft when Markstrom got dealt. So I could see somewhere in that range being the same thing for Rasmus Anderson, or maybe it drags a little bit longer into the summer if we're going to be talking about a trade. But yeah, it feels like he is the biggest thing that needs to be decided internally. With, you know, they've got, you know, could they sign a Dustin Wolf long-term extension at some point? Yeah, maybe they could. And some of their UFAs are interesting. And you're right, you know, who they draft in the first round will be of intrigue. But yeah, I think that the biggest story and the biggest talking point is going to remain Rasmus until a decision's made.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to say, and we've talked about it enough, but there is still merit in the possibility of him coming back in the fall, because they don't quite know exactly where Brustevich or Parekh are in terms of their development, whether they're ready to make that jump. Look, we all think Parekh's going to start the season next year in the NHL, because why would he go back to junior? But you know, in terms of his development, maybe being a mentor for these guys, maybe there's – I do see some merit there. But I also know how affected this organization was a year earlier, like 2 years ago, when the whole season – in their eyes, was marred by the constant chatter on, is he staying, is he going, is he here, is he there, where is he going, will he sign, won't he sign, does he want to sign, does he not want to sign? Like, you know, it's just one player, and maybe that distraction is something this organization can handle a whole lot better moving forward. But it was such a distraction before. I think that they are very hesitant to enter the season with that being even a top five question as the season opens up.
Let's close out this week. I'll bounce a couple names off you, because earlier this week we batted around with some of those trade target lists starting to come out, and some of the rumors that you're starting to hear about guys that may or may not be on the trade block. We talked about two guys specifically that, you know, could be interesting targets for the Flames to go after, could be interesting names for the Flames to inquire about. And I'll ask you briefly about each of them. The first one is Marco Rossi. Sounds like things in Minnesota for the former first round pick are maybe not as rosy as they could be, and that maybe the two sides are fairly far apart when it comes to a contract at this point. He's a restricted free agent, 23 years old. He'll be 24 in September. He's a natural center, and second straight 20 goal season, put up 60 points in 82 games this past year. Do I think that he is their future number one center? No, probably not. But I do think that you're talking about a guy who could be a really nice piece for them down the middle, young, and definitely upgrades them in a position they're very thin at right now. He's the first guy that I pointed to as a real potential name they could go after.
I think the kid's a stud, an absolute stud. He's undersized as a center, but I think he could be a number one center. I think he's got the playmaking ability to be that. Is he, you know, physically, can he be dominant? No. But I think as a playmaking center, I think he has the potential of being a guy who could be a point of game center and playing on your top line with whoever your stud wingers are. I think if the Calgary Flames could have a chance on a Marco Rossi, I think they'd be all over, you know, exploring that further. I'd just be stunned if Minnesota couldn't come to terms with him or couldn't make that work out, because I think it's been made pretty clear in our market through the Calgary Flames, you know, futile search for trying to find a center, and just how hard it is to find a young center. The teams don't give up on those guys anymore. The centers are so coveted and so hard to find. And a guy who's, what, 3 years into his career is already putting up 60 points a year. I'm sorry, but I just can't imagine that Minnesota wouldn't covet this guy. You know, if you're hearing that, you know, contract talks are being a real sticking point, I would just answer that by saying, well, that's just part of business. Now, if there's a personality clash, that's different. And maybe that could be a reason why you'd move off of him. But I would be stunned if Minnesota didn't come to terms with this guy, because 23-year-old centers to get 60 points in their third year. Give me the list of guys who do that. It's pretty short. So I think the Flames would be interested for sure.
And he'd be an incredible fit for, I think, I'm with you. I think there's a lot to like about him and a lot to like about where he could go. And If you could, I don't think that you could get an offer sheet for him to agree to that wouldn't see you giving up a first round pick, but might even be looking or might even think about trying to explore something like that as well. The other name is Bowen Byram in Buffalo. Now he would cost an arm and a leg to acquire, but we're talking about a 24-year-old D-man who has Western Canada roots, and he's played really well in Buffalo, but again, you know, his name continues to be out there from connected people, and it makes you think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And so I look at Byram and I say to myself, boy, that would be a really, really nice fit on a left side where Calgary does not have a ton of depth and specifically a lot of young depth right now. They've got Ball and then it kind of drops off. If you're looking for a permanent partner for Zane Parekh and or Mackenzie Weegar going forward on the right side. Yeah, if Byram is actually on the block, there's probably 20 teams interested in him.
Yeah.
But boy, that would be a really interesting target for them to go after as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, from what I hear, I mean, it doesn't sit all that well with him that he's kind of plays second, third fiddle in Buffalo. I mean, Byram's a hell of a defenseman. And he had that same problem when he was with the Colorado organization. He was always going to be, you know, their second or third best defenseman at best. And I think he really believes that he could be a number one guy in an NHL market. So, yeah, I think every team in the league would want him. Isn't it interesting that, like, think about how shocked the hockey world was when he was traded the first time. Like, you're like, wow, like, teams don't trade stud youngsters like that very often. And now, isn't it interesting that his name's coming out so much again? I would understand if a player didn't want to stay in Buffalo for about 1,500 million reasons. But it's just an organization that's been spinning its tires forever. So I could see that being a fit, but again, that'd be so costly. And the organization here in Calgary has already put a lot of resources into blue liners and have a lot coming forward. Yeah, I'm with you. Wouldn't that be an incredible guy to play on the left side, you know, ahead or behind Kevin Ball? I don't know. Put it this way. I think they would covet Rossi more than they would covet Byram.
Right. Those are these are the types of moves that if you're the Flames, you got to be thinking about making, right? And
I agree.
Right, yep. From when Craig Conroy took over, he said, yeah, draft picks, prospects, but also young NHLers that can step in and help this group immediately, but also can grow with us and be a part of us for the long term as well. And we've seen a few of those guys that have been added, and Kevin Ball is maybe one of the more recent guys to join that conversation. So that it just that's another important part of this hybrid rebuild they're trying to do is bring in guys who are in their early 20s, 23, 24, that have NHL experience, are ready to play in the NHL or are NHL level right now, but also aren't veterans either. So that's why I think a lot of people have connected the dots or found a really nice fit with names like that and what the Flames are trying to do here.
Well, and look, to get a guy like Rossi or even Byram, you're gonna have to give up at least a first rounder plus, right? And you know, the Calgary Flames have been looking for that center so desperately. I don't think they'd have a problem at all getting, you know, trading their first rounder, whether it's the 18th pick this year or the 32nd one, to acquire that center that they've been looking for so long. So that's not a problem. The question is, you know, whether they would have enough of a package for Minnesota to give up on a kid like Rossi. It's a fascinating one. And I do feel like Craig Conroy does have the patience we've spoken about a lot, but also I think he's got the stones to go out and you know, spend big to get that big-time young player that can step in the lineup already as a proven NHLer. I'm confident that move is going to happen at some point in time. I don't know if it's this summer, but I know he's got the stones to do it.
Yep. Good stuff, my friend. Appreciate the time, as always, EF. Are you, do we know, are you heading back to Edmonton anytime soon?
Still up in the air. I'm not sure. I think I wouldn't mind going for games 1 and 2. and just being part of that as well. But at this point, I'm not sure. We'll probably iron that out over the weekend.
Okay. Well, for now, have a great weekend, pal. Thanks for doing this, as always. Great stuff, my friend. Have a great weekend. And, well, you know what? I'm not here for a few weeks after this, so this is our last chat for a little while. We'll reconvene a little bit later on in June, hey?
Yeah, late in June, we'll get back together, and we'll have lots to talk about. Have a great weekend, bud.
All right, there you go. It's the Eric Francis Hour for another week as we start to wrap things up on Flames Talk. Of course, you can get Flames Talk wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get them. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Connor Gronsdahl, and Riley Clark, our outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been the Eric Francis Hour. It's also been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.